Broadcasting live from the Metro Atlanta Chamber rooftop, it's the Health IT Leadership Summit. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton. At the heart of the nation's health IT capital, Atlanta, Georgia, in downtown, we have the Ferris wheel to our right. We have Centennial Park right in front of us. It's a beautiful night. And look who we got here with us, Stone.
Hey, this is the whole reason that we came. In this segment, we had the Chief Mohaw, the Grand Poobah with Technology Association of Georgia. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, Mr. Tino Mantella. How are you, sir?
Good. I love you guys. It's good to be here. Thank you.
So now, why don't you share a little bit about your view of this event? Because it's kind of a unique collaboration between two entities that some people might think are competitors.
That's an interesting question. So the Metropolitan Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, Technology Association of Georgia, we also have to throw in Georgia Department of Economic Development.
We don't have to, but that's nice
yeah,
of you to do.
Well,
should.
Now I can send them a bill.
So probably great. Should. Yeah, send them a bill. They're the state. They must have some money. No, you know what? The Chamber and TAG really are very much cooperative, and we all have the same goals in mind, and that is to make Georgia the top place in the nation for technology, and certainly we're already there in the health IT space, so this was a natural. But we do about a half a dozen things now with the Chamber, including starting Venture Atlanta, doing the Business Launch Competition. They jumped into that, the Health IT Summit, Institute for Health IT. So they're good partners. A lot of times chambers and associations are competitors, but we really don't see ourselves like that.
Now, in the studio, we've got to interview a lot of companies that have offices around the country, and they say that Atlanta's kind of unique where there's this level of collaboration. In your travels, do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, you know, so in running the Technology Association of Georgia, I've actually was chairman of the Technology Councils of North America for 2 years. So there's 55 of us in the U.S. and Canada, and we're very different. One of our unique pieces is that we have 34 different special interest groups, as you guys know, and in the other states, they'll have 34 different organizations, 34 different companies. So we've already created this major collaboration with under TAG, and then in addition to that, we have about 15 affiliate partners, and then we work with the chambers. And so, yeah, it is really, I think, unique in terms of the level of collaboration that we have, and it's working. I mean, I think in the last 5 years, just looking at this event and how it's grown is really a credit to the way the community works together.
And when you say the community, the elements of the community are the public sector, the private sector, you have the hospitals, you have the colleges, the government. I mean, everybody's kind of participating, right?
Yeah, everybody's a player to one degree or another. I mean, we certainly work with the state very closely. We have, as you guys know, we have a couple lobbyists, so we're focusing on a variety of issues. This year, our big issue is computer science in the high schools, making sure the governor's already come out and said it should be an elective for math, science, or foreign language.
Great.
So that's a big step. The colleges, we're very close with Georgia Tech and Emory in Georgia in terms of entrepreneurship support, the chamber. So yeah, it is a public-private partnership, which always makes it the best. You can't do one without the other. You really need them all working together.
Now, my kids in high school, they said that, he told me that code, learning to code is going to replace a foreign language. Is that what they're working on?
That's interesting that your kids actually knew that. So it'll be interesting if people are listening to this, because we felt like at TAG that it definitely should be an elective. Well, let me take a step back and say the only way now that you can get a credit for computer science, even though we have a need for about 5,000 programmers and coders today in the Atlanta area, the only way you get a credit is if you take an AP course. And there's only 101 out of the 476 public schools, I think I have those numbers right, that offer that. So less than 1% of the kids in Georgia actually take it. So there's a real disconnect between the need and what's happening. But the governor, Chris Klaus, was a big driver of this. Of course, we know Chris has started ISS and now is running Kineva, a very successful guy. So he talked to the governor, TAG was supportive, Representative Michael Dudgeon out of the Forsyth area was very supportive, and the governor came out and said, okay, Board of Education, you need to change the rules and make sure that this is an elective for math, science, or foreign language. But it's interesting, the word already came out on the foreign language, But I got one letter from a French teacher so far that said, what? coding and programming is not a foreign language.
It is to me.
I said, really? You should talk to some of my friends because they don't agree with you.
How many French jobs are there today?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Let's see, number of French teachers versus number of coders that are needed. Let's match it up.
So I know we have a lot of way to go yet, but we really have made some strides, we being largely you and your organization, on this issue of STEM, getting kids interested in these STEM careers, yeah?
Yeah, we're making some progress, but it's slow. I mean, we need a lot more kids, even in the below high school.
We got to catch them early, right?
Got to catch them early.
Yeah, earlier, yeah.
You know, again, I refer to Chris Klaus, but he said he came up and he was interested in games and creating games. So he had to understand coding and algorithms to make that work. So he's a big believer. But now, you know, you're going to need to know code and programming. I kind of equate on dating myself, but back in my day, it was good to have typing skills, actually, so you could take that and work on a computer.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's just a natural piece. So we're making progress, but there's still a lot more need. There's not enough kids coming out of high school that are going into math, science, technology, or engineering. So,
are we seeing a growth in the technology schools after high school?
The tech colleges, I'm on the board of the tech college system of Georgia's foundation, and they do a good job, and they're actually, the governor again has made it an incentive. If you take like health IT or some of the technology curriculum and graduate a technology degree, you'll actually get 100% of your Hope scholarship that's going to cover your school. So, you know, what gets measured and what gets rewarded a lot of times gets done, so that's a really nice plus. But, you know, one of the challenges there, frankly, is only 20% of the kids that start out in a tech college graduate. So I've encouraged them to do a study on why they're dropping out, which seems like a natural thing to do given where we stand today.
So tomorrow, tell us what kinds of things you'll be doing at the summit itself.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really about talking about what's happening in health IT. We had a media tour, and we introduced a number of companies that like ShareCare and Greenway that made some big announcements that they both acquired companies, as an example. So there's a lot of traction there. And I talked about the areas where we're strong to create the cluster, like mobility, payments. So you think about fintech, but fintech and health IT and the whole payment space is really closely aligned. Mobility, certainly, as I said. And,
well, I got to tell you, excuse me for interrupting, our studio has just absolutely exploded with conversations around mobility. We got Atlanta Mobility Radio in there, those folks. And then this fintech, you probably have 101 things going on between now and then, but I got the email today or yesterday. You got a big powwow around fintech in January, right?
Symposium, yeah, coming up. So that's always a big event.
Symposium is the word, not powwow.
It's a powwow, too. We've said this statistic before, but over 70% of the payment process in the United States flow through Georgia.
Wow.
So we're really a leader in that space, and having the payments and the fintech and the health IT being leadership. So those are some of the things. I think the panels are going to talk about that, and then Jonathan Bush from Athena Health, who I've heard speak before, is worth the price of admission. He's out there. He's going to be telling his story. He's a very dynamic speaker, so that'll be fun. I think that's, you know, last year we had 600 people register. This year we have 1,200, so we're doing something right.
So now I remember one of the first times that you came on a show with us, you mentioned that the cluster, the idea of clusters and building that kind of ecosystem. Are you seeing that that come to fruition, that more and more clusters are popping up? Like you mentioned that the mobile payments is kind of a subcluster within fintech now.
Right. And mobility we see is horizontal because every area that we do, like supply chain, retail, also health IT and fintech, all require mobility. You know, payments are, as we all know, are going to go away from credit cards eventually, and you'll be able to do it on your wallet. One of Tag's new line of businesses is we're offering to do hackathons, so that's going to be fun. And we just did one with Global Payments, and the winners got $30,000 for one night of
developing. Like in real money or Bitcoin?
We like Bitcoin, but it was real cash on the barrel head. But they developed, the assignment was wearables and how to do payment. Basically, they provided smartwatches to all the competitors, and then they had to develop in one night. It was pretty amazing. Either how you authenticate that it's you and making a payment, or different ways to make a payment using the watch. So it was pretty cool stuff. So we're really well positioned in terms of that.
Are you seeing other communities use this cluster model?
Yeah, it really came from, I don't know if Michael Porter out of MIT should get the credit for it. But
I like to give you the credit.
Yeah, we've been calling it the Mantello methodology.
Mantello cluster theory. There'll be a book coming out in 19...
Cluster by Tino Mantello.
1958, I think I missed it. The idea with the cluster is there's just, you know, somebody asked me the other day, it's like, well, why is there a cluster? You know, it's like, well, it's there because it's there. When you start getting McKesson and Meta Assets and the companies that are in that space, that's going to attract more companies. It's going to attract more talent. One of the examples I like to use is Kia, for example. When Kia opened up, and it's a little different, but auto technology is actually growing here as a cluster. But surrounding Kia now are all these companies that want to support that cluster. So there's two things going on. One is the cluster itself, bringing talent in. I mean, at one point, a past governor was saying, we really need to be a leader in semiconductors. And it's like, well, why? We don't really have much semiconductor business.
It would be nice to have.
Nice to have, because it's kind of cool and sexy.
Right.
But
I read a Forbes article on it.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, now I think we're smarter in terms of saying, okay, double down on fintech, double down on health IT, retail technology, interactive marketing. Those are some of the areas.
So you nurture what's already here.
Nurture what's
here.
And then
create that ecosystem that allows to thrive and allows the executive maybe that's with that person that's entrepreneurial to spin off and create his own thing, and all of a sudden
The startups. It also influences the startup ecosystem.
Startups,
right? It's like a huge, powerful magnet once you get it rolling.
Yeah, once you get it rolling and companies are moving. If you're a fintech company, I guess there's going to be a big announcement coming out, but there's fintech companies are going to want to move here and they'll grow here. We see a lot of startups in the fintech space. Same with health IT.
Yeah, we had the economic development guy from Alpharetta in one of the studios.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
He said that Alpharetta by itself is like the size of Greenville.
Yeah, Austin. We told the mayor of Alpharetta, I told him one day that, because I was meeting with my counterpart in Austin, Texas, and I said, do you know that you have 600 technology companies? Since you have 600 technology companies, you actually have as many technology companies as Austin, Texas.
That's
so
sexier.
Oh, that's
I'm going to use
We're
that one
start
now.
Saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he uses that soundbite everywhere. I started thinking the other day when I heard it, I said, geez, I hope I'm giving the right information, because now it's out there.
But that's amazing. Like, when you think of Atlanta, you don't always think of Alpharetta. I mean, it's part of the metro Atlanta area, but it's kind of its own city by itself.
Yeah, one of the statistics the mayor had was 44% of the employees in Alpharetta are in technology.
Wow.
And
wow.
That's like, if you look at Austin or even Silicon Valley, that's much lower percentage. So the challenge is we don't hear as much about it, is because there's maybe 100,000 people that work there every day. So 44,000 are in technology, but that's still pretty amazing.
So before we let you go, and I do want you to get back to your guests.
We love
guests
you guys.
And get a chance to visit.
No,
I want to talk just a little bit about, I don't know if there is really such a thing as a member profile, but let's just say, what kinds of organizations, what kinds of people should be joining TAG if they're not already a part of it, and why?
Well, it's a great community, and we talked about already how we bring the community together. So these special interest groups really have a lot to do with driving the activity. So if you're a big company, most of them are members now, but they really see it's a one-stop shop. So somebody could get involved with marketing. If you want to recruit people, we have job fairs.
Recruiting, yeah.
So there's a lot of different elements that bring them together. If you're a service provider, well, you're going to want to be there because the enterprise and the other companies are there. And then the tech-enabled companies, because everybody's really a tech company anymore. So As you guys know, we do the Excalibur Awards, where we recognize the tech-enabled companies in terms of their creativity in solving a problem using somebody else's technology. So I would say the answer is, really, if you're interested in technology space and you want to connect in, whether you're trying to build your business, whether you're looking to employ someone, you're looking for a job, whether you want a partnership, be a reseller, whatever the issue might be, you should think about joining TAG.
And the website for TAG?
TAGonline.org, and we've become the largest tech trade association in North America, so we're just crossing the 26,000 member mark, which
wow.
is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Tino Mantella with Technology Association of Georgia, thank you so much, man. This is always a blast.
Always a pleasure. I look forward to doing this a couple times a year, guys, so we'll keep it going, and thanks for what you do. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right, we will be back in a few from the rooftop at the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.